Well, good morning to you, church family. So glad that you're here today. Thank you for tuning in online. Glad that you're here as well. You want to hear some good news? Okay. And I'm going to ask Mike and Mary, if you would, come and stand with me just for a moment. Mike and Mary Taylor, this is their two-year anniversary of being here on staff at Cultivate Church. And we want to say thank you and welcome, or thank you to them, not welcome to them. But we, I tell you what, Mike and Mary were church planters in Oregon. And so they, when we were planting, Mike and Mary, they came and met with our leadership team. And Mike was instrumental in kind of letting us know, hey, here's what you're going to experience as you plant. Here's some things to look out for. God used Mike and Mary to help prepare us and to set a good foundation. And then, in the Lord's providence, he led them to come and be with us here. And I'm so grateful because Mike is a steadiness for us. And because he's experienced already, they've experienced what we are experiencing. I'm so grateful to have that experience by my side. I know, whether you know it or not, you have benefited from Mike's ministry, Mike and Mary. Our discipleship ministry is growing and strong. Bible study classes, they often fill in and are training within our children's ministry. And so if you don't see them in here, that's where they are. And so as we're growing, they have just filled in as needed. And that's those are things that I could not do. And so I'm grateful. Cultivate Church is on the mission field now as a three-year-old church, and we just finished our second annual missions conference because of the work that Mike and Mary are doing through the Lord. And that is the ministry that they have brought to this, and we would not be there if had not been for Mike and Mary. And so we just want to say thank you. Happy anniversary to you. Thank you for these two wonderful years. We have a small token of our appreciation for that. I'll give this to you, Mary, and we love you, and thank you so very much. Thank you. Love you. Okay. And I know you'll want to show your appreciation to them and wish them a happy anniversary. If you have your Bibles now, turn to Psalm 105. Psalm 105, put a marker there. That's our main passage. And then flip on over to 1 Corinthians 14. Psalm 105, flip over to 1 Corinthians 14. And we're picking back up in a series. We've had 2 weeks off. We had our missions conference the week before, or last week, last Sunday, and then the Sunday before, Tony Bridwell was here in conclusion for our men's conference. So we've had some really fulfilling weekends. I'm so grateful. But we're picking back up on this series called The 10 Tests. We've been walking through the life of Joseph and seeing what tests that he's been put through and seeing what patterns that there are through Scripture. And I believe that the same character that God wanted to produce in Joseph's life is the same character that he wants to produce in our lives and needs to, so that we can step into and fulfill our God-given purpose. So I'm just going to review, since it's been a couple of weeks. First, we learned our first test was about the pride test. And we remember we learned that pride stems from insecurity. And unless we're freed from insecurity, we'll never be freed to run into and fulfill our purpose. The second test was the pit test, and we all go through the pits, and some of you may be in the pits right now. And the reason for the pit test, we learned, is so that we would surrender to God and cry out to Him. That's why God allows us to go through the pits sometimes and keeps us there. Third, was the Potiphar test. And that was really a test of stewardship for Joseph. Joseph was in Potiphar's house. He had been sold into slavery. He made the most of his opportunity that he was there, while he was there. And so the test is, will you be faithful with what you've given, where you're given, how you're given? And then the fourth test, before we kind of took those 2 weeks break, was the perseverance test, where he had been thrown into prison after doing the right thing. And so he had to persevere for 13 years before he was even let out of prison. And so that perseverance test, this endurance, it builds character, and character builds up. Today, the title of the message is the prophetic test. God gave Joseph prophetic dreams, and they are snapshots of his future and his promise and his purpose. And Joseph had to do something with the prophetic word that God gave him. He had to do something with it. And I believe that when God gives snapshots into our future, whether it be through a dream like Joseph, and that may be true for some of you, or from a message like you're hearing today, or through someone else, we need to know what to do with that word in order to pass the prophetic test. Now, I'm aware that just the word prophetic, that word, can intimidate us and can feel a little overwhelming, especially if you're like me and you were not taught about the prophetic in your upbringing. And often we don't know what that means, and we don't know what to do with it, and we've all seen it misused and mocked through our years, and so we can tend to marginalize it. But here's what I want. Here's what I've prayed for. See, I want Cultivate Church to be a place where we can lean into all of the Word of God. If it's there, I want to lean into it. And no matter what our upbringings are, no matter what our biases or our preconceived notions about something, such as like the prophetic, if it's in the Word of God, I pray that Cultivate Church is always that place where we come open-handed and we say, Lord, you teach me what your Word says about this. And I'll submit and lay down my preconceived notions, but you teach and you lead me. That's what I pray that Cultivate can, and so that we can apply it with a purity of heart in these days. So what I want to do quickly with that in mind is I want to lay a foundation about the prophetic with some scripture, and then we'll get to our passage in Psalm 105, and then I'll have some points that we can learn from. All right, now prophecy is all over Scripture. It's both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and it is front and center in the practice of the Christian church. Paul says, in fact, it is a gift that is to be desired. Paul tells us, desire the prophetic gift. I want to show you 1 Corinthians 14, if you've turned there, and it's also on the screen. I just want to show you this. This is kind of a little rabbit trail, but I'm laying a foundation for us here, okay? Here's what Paul says. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Now remember, spiritual gifts are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to a believer for the purpose of the body, of edifying the body. Okay, you understand that, right? All right, now, here's what he says. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, okay? So now Paul here, what he's doing, he's fixing to go into a functional comparison between the gift of tongues, which is another place where we can get sideways if we're not careful, and the gift of prophecy. I want you to look. Verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Now, when we speak to God, what do we call that? When we speak to God, what is that called? Prayer. Okay, keep that in mind. So he says, when he speaks in a tongue, does not speak to men, but speaks to God, prayer. For no one understands him, however, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. So this is talking about a spiritual prayer tongue, a spiritual prayer language. It's not meant for others. It's not meant here. It's meant vertical. All right, look what he says. Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men, to men and women. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, and I want you to notice my hand motions here, edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. You follow me so far? All right, now, so far he's only teaching the descriptive differences between the gift of tongues, vertical, this is personal edification, and the gift of prophecy, this is horizontal. All right, he's explaining their specific applications. Now, look at verse 5. He says, I wish all spoke with tongues. Okay, so he says, I wish you all did for your personal edification, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater. Now, that word doesn't mean better than. That word greater means more eminent. Okay, so it's more in the front in this context. So it's greater than he who speaks in tongues unless, there he gives that clause, indeed, he interprets that the church may receive edification. So what is he saying here? So praying in tongues is a gift, okay, but used to edify the believer and used in prayer and only used if it's interpreted as a prophetic word. The prophetic gift, though, is given to edify the church and to strengthen and encourage the body. You with me so far? Everybody with me? Okay. By the way, Paul is not saying that one gift is greater than the other. He never said that in that passage. Okay. Look at it says, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So he's saying that the edification of the body is greater imminent priority over personal edification when the body is gathered. You follow me? Because he's talking to the church, the gathered church. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, he's saying that's greater imminent right there. That comes to the forefront because the edification of the body is more important when the body's gathered than the personal edification through tongues. Okay. So in context to the gathered church, that's us today, and the benefit of everyone, Paul encourages the pursuit and the use of the gift of prophecy. All right, now, the word prophecy, it's the Greek word prophesteuo, which I just butchered that, but you get the idea. Here's what it means. It means to speak forth under sudden impulse by divine inspiration. So the Holy Spirit gives a word, so it's divine inspiration, for the purpose of teaching, refuting, reprove, admonish, encouragement, or the comfort of others. So there's a lot that's packaged in this gift of prophecy. There's a lot that we need to understand that it's for. In other words, the prophetic gift is a miraculous grace gift from God given to profit the church in or for a specific situation that is or is to come. Do you remember when we talked about a couple of weeks ago what the word prophet means? When the Lord wants to prosper you, he wants to profit you. Do you remember what that word meant? It means to help someone along. It means to encourage, to push someone along, for to encourage someone from where they are to where they are going. So either encouragement or caution. The prophetic gift is a way that God partners with people to communicate a word of application from the word to his people. And a prophetic word can be delivered straight to you from God, it can be, and it can be delivered through someone else or both. Now, I want to turn your attention to our passage, and you're going to see something tremendous that's going to underscore this idea. Now, before we read this passage, we're going to stand together. We're going to pray, asking the Lord to give us clarity and instruction on this teaching, and then we'll read the Psalm 105 passage. So if you would, stand in the honor of reading of God's Word, and then we'll move forward. And then you'll remain standing, okay? So, Lord, this gift of prophecy that you've given to the church, it's all over Scripture, and Lord, we want to understand what it means. We want to understand the truth of your word, and so Lord, I humble myself and I empty myself, and Father, I pray that you would protect this body right now. Would you protect every ear, every eye, every heart, every mind? And we rebuke the lies of the enemy. We cast off anything that would come to distract us, and Lord, we put our full focus on who you are, and Lord, Holy Spirit, would you illuminate the truth of Scripture to all of us and apply it to our lives. Have your way, God, we pray in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Remain standing. Here we go. Here's the word. Psalm 105, we're going to begin in verse 16 and go through verse 19. Now, I want you to listen to this. Now, we're talking about Joseph here, all right? Now, Joseph shows up in the Psalms, okay? It's interesting. Verse 16. And God, he called for a famine upon the land of Egypt. And he cut off every source of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. And his feet they hurt with shackles, and he was put in chains of iron. Until the time, look at this, that his word of prophecy regarding his brothers came true. The word of the Lord tested and refined him. Now I want you to notice that verse one more time, verse 19. Until the time that his word came true, the word of the Lord tested and refined him. God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Now, here's what we know. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right, it's okay. You talk back to me, okay? It's right. Yes, okay. God spoke a prophetic word over Joseph's life with his dreams, okay? God gave prophetic dream to Joseph for what he was to do and for what his brothers would do once they were in Egypt, okay? And until that came to pass, the word of the Lord tested and refined him. Now, it's important to understand that God has spoken a word over every single person in this room. There is a plan and a purpose that has been established for your life before the foundation of the world. And God, in speaking, He has spoken a word over our lives. God has spoken a word over you. God has something unique for you to do. And you're the only one especially gifted and uniquely qualified to do the work that God has specifically called you to do. Here's the test. Know the prophetic word that God has spoken over you, that promise that God has spoken over you, anchor it down, and obey the word of God so you can fulfill the promise of God that is over your life. Why? Why would we do that? Because the enemy wants you to pull up your anchor. Whatever you're anchored in, he wants you to pull it up. And he'll try in numerous ways to do that, but one way he does it is through a spirit of distraction and comparison. See, Satan will try to get you to give up. He'll want to pull you off course, and he wants you to fall off the wagon of running after him, running after the Lord. But if you're more determined than he bargained for, if you are, then Satan will send distraction and comparison. He'll try that. He'll shoot that arrow at you. Now, this is what happens. We'll allow ourselves to get distracted by other people whom God has also spoken over and gifted, and they're obeying and they're operating in their purpose, and then comparison then comes around and gives us this thought, wow, that's the way to do it. I wish I had their gifts. I wish I could do what they're doing, and then we'll stumble around for a while. But that's not what the Lord says. God has equipped them to do what they're doing. They've got a unique calling and a gift that you can't do. And guess what? You have a unique gifting and calling over your life that they can't do. And you need to stay faithful to the promise God has given to you. The test is to know this word, this prophetic word God has spoken over you, and stay anchored and stay steady and moving and focused. And I want to help you do that today. I want you to look back at verse 19. Now, we emphasized it just a moment ago, but it says, until the time his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Now, you'll notice that the word is used two times in this verse. It's one word in the English language, so it's word, but it's two in the Greek, or in the Hebrew. The first word here in the Hebrew is the word dibar. That's the root word, and it means something spoken. It's a spoken word, all right? So you could say this verse this way: until the time that was spoken over Joseph came to pass, then it says the word of the Lord tested him. Now, the second word on this word, the word of the Lord tested him, it's a different word. It's the word amaro. And it means the literal word of God. So Joseph didn't have the written word of God like we have. So what would he have had? He would have had the covenant with Abraham. He would have had the promise. Joseph would have had the promise. So in other words, Psalm 105 is saying, until the time that Joseph's prophetic word came to pass, the covenant word of God tested him. For Joseph, he had this prophetic dream from God when he was 17 years old, but yet now he's gone through all that he's gone through. He's been thrown in the pit. He's been put in Potiphar's house. Now he's gone through prison. And when he was in the pit, when he was in those places, when he closed his eyes at night, all he had was the dream that God had given him, that which he'd spoken over him when he was 17. And all he had then was that dream and the covenant that God had made with his people. That's all he had. The prophetic word that God gave him tested Joseph's faith. It tested his faith. But the covenant word of God tested and refined his character. The prophetic word gave him a snapshot and it gave him vision, but the word of God guided him there. You following me? Now we have the written word of God. Now we do. The Bible. The Bible is the literal word of God. The Bible is our authority. It is our authority. And there is nothing lacking in the word of God. It is fully and complete. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for some good works. No, for all, for every good work. See, there are many of us that might be trying so hard to fulfill what we think we know that God's plan and purpose is for our lives, and we're trying in purity of heart, but we're violating Scripture but we don't know that we're violating Scripture because we don't know Scripture. God may have given you a gift, but you're misusing it maybe because you don't understand the standard by which to use the gift. And you're trying to fulfill your purpose and use your gift your way. And God is saying, no, I have anointed you to do this work. I certainly have, but you must do it my way. That's what God will be saying. Here's what I'm learning more and more. I'm learning that many Christians are spiritually malnourished and underutilized for the kingdom because we are not spending time in the Word of God. And if you desire to have a fresh word spoken over your life today or at some point from the Lord, your spiritual ears will never be tuned to hear it if you are not dialed in to the Word of God. Yep. I need you to hear me. This book is not just a book. It's not just a piece of literature. This book is life to those who find it and read it. And when I mean find it, I mean find it. It will bring health to your entire being, to your body. The words of Scripture are pure. It is the very breath of God. It is unchanging and it is forever enduring. And I'm praying that every person at Cultivate Church would fall in love with the Word of God. If I could have a dream for you, it would be that you would fall in love with the Word of God. If you're in the Word of God, there is no stopping the Church of God at Cultivate Church. Amen. And I'm praying every one of you would get an unquenchable thirst for the Word of God. Because if you do not know the written Word of God, you will not understand a prophetic word from God. Ever, never, never. Some theological systems teach that God doesn't speak today and that all we have is the written word. That's a well-meaning thought, and I understand what they're saying, but that's against Scripture. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that is the spoken word of God over you. And here's the proof. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, this is Jesus talking. He's given a promise to his disciples. He says, the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. If you've ever prayed and the Lord has answered your prayer, or the Lord spoke to your spirit, or you received an answer, or you were led in the Spirit to do something, maybe to start a business or to speak a word of encouragement to someone, if the Lord has ever led you to do that, or if the Lord has ever led you to plant a church, that's a spoken word from the Lord. But a spoken word will never, ever contradict the written word. Because the written word is the standard by which we test any and every word we believe to come from God. Now, I've got 3 points of understanding regarding the prophetic spoken word to us. If you're taking notes, here's number one. Here's point number one. Here's what we need to understand about the prophetic word. Number one, the prophetic word is partial. The prophetic word is partial. 1 Corinthians 13:9 tells us that. It says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Okay, now that word part right there, it literally means divisions assigned. Okay, so in other words, we don't know the full story. We don't know it. But we only know what has been assigned to us to know. All right, let me ask you this. Who does the assigning? God, the Holy Spirit does the assigning. That's right. There's nobody that knows in fullness. None of us know in fullness. We will never know in fullness till we're face to face with Jesus one day. So when the Lord partners with us to give us a word from Him through us or to us, it is an assigned portion that he gives. It isn't everything, it's just in part. It's just in part. When God gave Joseph the prophetic dream when he was 17, when he gave that prophetic dream to him about his future, God didn't give him the whole picture. He didn't say in his dream, Joseph, you're going to be thrown into a pit, you're going to be sold into slavery, then you're going to go to Potiphar's house, and you're going to be put in prison, but you're going to move up, and you're going to move out, and then you're going to move into the promise. God did not tell Joseph that. God didn't give Joseph all of that information. He gave him a snapshot of the future, and he gave him what he needed to profit him, to move him along, to encourage him along in his faith. Why would the Lord only give us a portion? Why would the Lord only give us a word in part? It's for the same reason that he gives us anything, and it is so that we would seek him. That's the reason he gives it in part. So we have to take the prophetic word that God has spoken to us, and we've got to submit that word, whatever that is, we've got to submit it to the perfect and complete word of God to understand what God is saying to us. Don't you think that Joseph probably had to take the dream that God had given him and submit it back to God sometime when he was in the pit or when he was in prison or when he was in Potiphar's house? Don't you think he probably had to resubmit it back to God and be like, God, I don't understand what you're doing. God, I can't see how you're working here, but you gave me this dream when I was young, and I'm going to trust your promise. I'm going to trust you, Lord, but I'm having to submit this back to you. Don't you think Joseph would have been there? If you've got a word from the Lord today, or the Lord has given you a word for someone, don't think that you've got the whole word, because there's no way that you can have the whole thing. And over these last 3 years that we've been doing this, listen, I have prayed the prayer. I'm like, God, you gave me your promise. The Lord did. He gave me a promise. The Lord spoke a word to me over Cultivate Church over the years ago. And I will pray, Lord, you've given me your promise. I remember you have affirmed it in your word. You have proven yourself faithful according to your word. And I don't know what you're doing right now. There have been times when I've prayed that. Lord, I don't know what you're doing right now. I can't see. It doesn't look like the snapshot that you gave me over 3 years ago. It doesn't look like that yet, the snapshot that you've shown me. But I'm going to trust that you're going to do it, because the written word says you're going to finish what you start. And I may only know in part, but I know that you know, God, that I don't know all that you know, and all that I need to know is that you know all that I don't know, you know? And that's what I say. That's all I need to know. The prophetic is partial. Here's number two, if you're taking notes. The prophetic must be judged. The prophetic must be judged. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Are y'all having fun? Listen, I'm having fun with this topic. I'm telling you. I learned so much. 1 Corinthians 14:29. Let two or three people prophesy, and let the others evaluate or judge what is being said. Now, he gave this prescription to the church on how we're to operate when the church is gathered, okay, and how the prophetic is to be operated. And, all right, so I love that he did that. Now, why? Why would we need to judge what is being said? See, right now, you are in the place where you have to, I'm speaking, but you have to judge, is what Pastor Daniel is saying, is it from the Word? See, the Holy Spirit's, you're in that position where you're doing that. It must judge what we spit, because we know in part and we're human. That's why it must be judged. That's why we have to judge it, because we know in part and we are human. We're fallible human beings. Listen, let me ask you a question. Are we going to make mistakes in understanding the Word of God? You bet we are. Are we going to think that we're hearing from the Lord and sometimes be wrong? Yes. Of course we are. That's why the Bible tells us to test prophecy. Now, the prophecy that comes from the Lord is pure and true. But he chooses to partner with his people. He chooses to do that through the prophetic sometimes. And sometimes our filter gets clogged. You follow me? Sometimes our own filter gets clogged, and we can hear something from the Lord, but because of our flesh nature kind of clogging up that filter, see, then we might pass on criticism through our filter, or we might pass judgment through our filter, or sometimes we can't hear the Lord correctly through our filter because it's clogged. Our filter gets clogged. That's why we have to judge what is being said. That's why you can't just take my word for it, what I say that comes out of my mouth. I can show you all day long. I can study all week long. I can get a word from the Lord for you, but at the end of the day, I'm a sinful, fallible human being. I'm going to make mistakes, but you should be judging the word that I give you, but not through your filter, but through this filter. Yes. Through this filter. The filter, but through the word. Now, the more we walk with the Lord, the closer we get, he will be speaking to you. He'll tune you in. He will be speaking. His voice. The Lord's a talker, by the way. God's a talker. He wants to speak to you. The Holy Spirit will be speaking and guiding. If you're in the Word, the Holy Spirit will be guiding if you want Him to. And we need to remember, just like anything that God gives us, the enemy produces a counterfeit to mock what God gives us. God is trying to prosper you. He's trying to preserve you, and He wants to protect you. The enemy is trying to wreck you. He's trying to stop you, and he wants to kill you. And over the years, I've had several people come up and give a prophecy over me. A word from, they've said, I have a word of the Lord, from the Lord for you. And many of them have been wonderful and encouraging and true. And they have come true. But there are some that have not been from the Lord. That over the years, they have not been. And there have been times when I've had dreams or thoughts myself that I have had to learn to test what is being said or what I feel, because our feelings, we can get distracted by our feelings. They can lie to us. And so what I feel like the Lord is saying to me, but I have some practical go-to principles that I have identified for myself in judging prophecy, and I want you to jot some of these down if you think it might be helpful to you. Okay, so I just have a few that I want to share with you. This is how I use to test the prophetic in my own life, or this word that I might hear from the Lord about what's going on. Here's the first test that I use. Does it edify? Does it edify? 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." Now, a prophetic word should be insightful instruction, encouragement toward godly action, correction, and comfort to believers. That's what a prophetic word should be. It will not be negative or ill-timed in its delivery. You following me? It won't be destructive in its prescription or condemning in its correction. See, a prophetic word from the Lord will not be full of truth, but empty of grace. I want you to write that down. A prophetic word from the Lord will not be full of truth and empty of grace. Here's what I mean by that. A prophetic word from the Lord, somebody that comes, says something to you, or if you feel like the Lord, it won't be full of truth, but lacking all of the grace that God has. It won't be lacking in those areas. It will be perfect timing. See, it won't be ill-timed. So it was like, I got a true word, but that guy that came in, that was awkward. That didn't settle well. It won't come ill-timed, okay? It'll come right on time, and it'll be a right word. Here's the second thing. Does it agree with Scripture? You need to ask, does this word agree with Scripture? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." The authority behind all Scripture is the Holy Spirit, the Lord God, and He will never contradict Himself. He'll never contradict Himself. In other words, anything given in prophecy will never be opposed to the letter or the precepts of Scripture or the nature and character of God. Here's the third thing. Here's the question I ask. Is what I'm hearing, or is what someone's saying to me, does it glorify Jesus? Does it glorify Jesus? John 16:13 says this, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you the things to come. He will glorify Me." That's the part we haven't read yet. "He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you." The Holy Spirit, in whatever word is given, will always glorify Jesus. He'll always point to Jesus. So whatever the word of the Lord that comes to you, it will bring glory to Jesus and will cause you to bring glory to Jesus in whatever it tells you to do. You have to think, is this word that I'm either hearing for the Lord, or someone speaking over my life, or that this man is preaching over me right now, is it pointing me to Jesus? Here's number four. Here's the fourth question that I ask. Does it bear good fruit? Does it bear good fruit? Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness," that's important, "and peace and joy in the Spirit." Now, I want you to notice that righteousness, being right with God, comes first. I want you to hear me. Anything that promises joy and peace but bypasses righteousness is a deception. So in other words, a word that you, we can sometimes get a word and people say, the Lord told me this, and they'll say something. They might say something and it might sound good, but it wasn't righteous. It wasn't Christ God honoring. Righteousness comes first. The righteousness, then joy and peace. If you get something, well, that sounds really good, but that's really not, that's not really of God. It's not a word from the Lord. Here are the kinds of fruits that you should be looking for in a prophetic word, by the way. Does this prophetic word, this word spoken, preach, whatever it is, or dream, whatever the Lord gives you, Galatians 5:22, does it have this? Does it bring love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control, or lead you to do those things? A word over your life will bear those kinds of fruit. In other words, a prophetic will be leading you and encouraging you to produce good fruit. Here's the fifth thing that is I use to test the prophetic. Did it come true? Did it come true? And that's a lagging measure. That's a lagging test. And sometimes you have to wait. Deuteronomy 18:21 says this. But you may wonder, how will we know whether or not a prophecy is from the Lord? Verse 22, if the prophet speaks in the Lord's name, but his prediction does not happen or come true, you will know that the Lord did not give that message. That prophet has spoken without my authority and need not be feared. Now, have you noticed over the years, and so you have to live for a while to kind of notice this, but any time that there's ever been, if we've been in wartime or if there's been like through the pandemic, or any time that there's a tumultuous time or a catastrophic event, have you ever noticed that there's these prophets that kind of pop up everywhere on social media, and you start hearing words, and you start, this prophet will say something, and he'll say, the end time is near, you better prepare, and get your stockpile together, and do all this, and so the end's near, and he's coming by this time, and set a time frame, and it's announced, and people are urged and warned to respond accordingly, and then the date and time, it comes and goes, and nothing. Have you known that? Yeah. We've all known that in our time, multiple times through our lifetime. This dates me a little bit, but I remember the book that was put out in 1988 that said 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Happen in 1988. Does anybody remember that book? Okay, we had it in our house, right. I remember, and it scared me to death. I thought, Lord, I'll never grow up. You're going to come back. I'll never get married. I'll never graduate high school. I'll never know what real love means. I'll never know all the things that I felt that way. And it scared me to death. You know what? October 4th, 1988 is when he said that the Lord would come back. And I'm telling you, people took that seriously. And October 4th, 1988, come and went, and no rapture. And in 1989, the same author wrote a book again, and he said, 88 Reasons Why the Lord Did Not Come in 1988. Now, we don't know his heart, but assigning the best, perhaps the author of the book meant well. But his prediction was not from the Lord. And it didn't align with Scripture. Because Scripture, by the way, says no one knows the day or hour. Not even the angels in heaven, not even the Son of Man knows the day or hour. Only God the Father himself knows. If you hear somebody saying, here's when he's coming, and they put a date on it, run. Cut it off. But see, here's the deal. Because people didn't know Scripture, they fell for the false prophecy and made major decisions because of it. And when it didn't come to pass, it caused confusion and doubt and made a mockery of the prophetic gift, is what it did. And it caused many people to depart from the faith, if you ever read about what happened. And anytime that happens and people believe it and we don't know it, we don't measure it by Scripture, and we believe something, it can wreck us. And whose plan is it to cause confusion and doubt? It's Satan's plan. It's Satan's plan. Here's my point. When a pastor or someone gives a prophetic word and they put a future date on it, that's a strong word that should be tested by Scripture. And if it doesn't align, cut it out. Here's the sixth thing that I use to test. Does it bring a sense of freedom, peace, or confidence? Does it bring a sense of freedom, peace, and confidence? 2 Corinthians 13:17 says, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." There's freedom. The Holy Spirit never produces bondage or says things to put us in bondage. In fact, Romans 8:15 says, "You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." So if there's a prophetic word or something that's spoken over you that puts you into fear immediately, it's not a word from the Lord. If it's a word about the end times, I'm telling you, prophecy about the end times, we know the end times are coming. It should encourage us as believers. It should encourage us and spur us on to gather as many people around the table and share the good news of the gospel as we can, because we know that time is running out. It should not cause fear, ever. The book of Revelation, if you read it, the book of prophecy, it should never, ever cause you to fear the end times. Never. That is not from the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "God has not given us a spirit of," what's the word? Fear. Bondage, confusion, and fear are not products of the Holy Spirit and are not, will not be included in a prophetic word that comes from the Lord. And here's the seventh thing that I use to test. Does it bring fresh life to you? Does it bring? 2 Corinthians 3:6, "But the Spirit gives life." True prophecy given by the Holy Spirit will always inject life into a person or a meeting such as this, and it will harmonize with God's overall purpose for your life, and it is a piece of the puzzle. You're like, "Ah, thank you, God, for that word." Here's number eight. Here's how I test. Does your spirit bear witness? Does your spirit bear witness? Now, that's a test. That's a subjective test, but a legitimate one. And you have to remember that you have the Holy Spirit living in you, inside of you, to warn you, to guide you, and to protect you. If you're a believer now, you have the Spirit of God working this out, this message out in your heart and life right now. He's taking the words that were being spoken and the words that we've read, and He's working this out in you. 1 John 2:27 says this. Look at this. "But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him." The anointing that He's talking about here in this verse is what operates in us as we're walking in the Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, when you're in prayer, when you're in the Word, when you're in worship, and you will grow a discerning awareness inside you that will bear witness to the truth and will reject what is a lie. So the prophetic is powerful. It is a gift to the church. It is to be pursued. It is to be used, but it is to be judged. Now, here's point number three, if you're taking, this is my final point. The prophetic words are to be held by faith. They're to be held by faith. In other words, if the Lord gives you a word, if He gives you a word, hold on to the word by faith. Don't let it go and don't give up. If Joseph would have given up on the prophetic dream that God had given him, if he would have given up somewhere in the pit or somewhere in prison or somewhere in Potiphar's house, if in the midst of his struggles and trials, if he would have given up, he would have never done what God had called him to do. See, God tests our faith with the prophetic word, and He tests our character with the written word. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things and hold fast to what is good." This is the New Testament now. See, I believe a lot of well-meaning people are afraid and look down on and despise the gift of prophecy. So because they do, we just ignore it. We'll just bypass it. And instead of what Scripture says, to test it and hold fast to what is good, we'll just bypass it. We want to go there, Daniel. Did you know that phrase, hold on, hold fast, it means to anchor. It means to anchor down and keep secure. Here's how you could say that. When a word is from the Lord and you've tested it by the written word of God, you can anchor your life with it and stay secure in it. The Bible, the written word of God, did not specifically tell me that I was supposed to plant a church and be the pastor of a church. It didn't say that specifically to me. But the Lord revealed that work to us early on. And then that word, guess what that word did? It pointed us back to the Word. It pointed us to Scripture. And God affirmed through His people, He affirmed through His Word, and through Him speaking, that we were doing what we were supposed to do. There have been times when Carolyn and I, we were not feeling the warm fuzzies about what we have been called to do. There have been times, shockingly. I know you're shocked by that. But we've not always felt the warm fuzzies about what God has called us to do. But the only thing that we've had to lean on at times is the prophetic word, that calling over our lives, that dream, that promise that He's given to us. That's the only thing sometimes that we've had to fall back on. And the only way that we can remain faithful to that is to stay in this. Yep. Now, 1 Timothy 1:18, and I'm done. It says, "This charge I commit to you, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage good warfare." Whew, that's a strong statement. "Having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. Of whom are Hermanius and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Did you pick up on what Paul's saying to Timothy here? He's saying, Timothy, you have a prophecy over your life that you need in order to wage good warfare. Stand strong against the enemy with that prophecy. Stand strong with that word of God that He's given over you. These two other men, he told Timothy, he said, these two other guys, by the way, the promise that God had over their lives, that promise, they rejected it. And because they rejected it, their faith has been wrecked. And because they rejected it, I've turned them over to Satan so that they would learn not to blaspheme. Now, that's a pretty strong word, but listen. If you have a word from the Lord, hold on to it in faith. Don't let anything take you out. Hold on to that word. Because I'm telling you, the enemy wants to distract you so you forget the word he wants to shipwreck your life. He wants you to be washed up. Has the Lord made a promise over you? Have you received a word from the Lord and what He has for you? And if you have and you know what that word is from the Lord, hold on to it in faith. Here's the test. Here's the question for you today. Here's what I want you to walk out with. More than even an understanding of the prophetic now. But I want you to, here's the question. Are you going to hold on to the word that the Lord has already given you? Are you going to hold on to it? Are you going to hold on to it? See, if you hold on, no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does to you, no matter what you go through, no matter what pit you go in, no matter what prison you find yourself in, no matter what you go through, you will pass the test and stand into your promise. If you hold on to the word, hold on to that word that God has spoken over your life and submit it to the word.